Welcome to the April 2025 episode of the In the Distance Oblivious Playlist podcast. It's a podcast about music
by two people who love music. And he is the recently cat-scratched Big Al Hammond.
And she is the macho dog-loving Phoebe Fowler. Every month we pick 11 songs of pretty much any genre or any time period that we put into a changing Spotify playlist. Our podcast talks about some of the songs we pick and anything else about music that might come into our heads.
So our podcast is never intended to be overly professional. It's basically unscripted. Just two random people sitting around talking about music and why we often like,
but sometimes dislike,
each other's music tastes.
So spring is upon us, Phoebe.
It's spring.
It's springtime.
Yay.
What is it? Spring has sprung, the grass is riz, I wonder where the flowers is.
I don't think I've ever heard that.
Well, now you have.
Well, thank you for enlightening my spring.
You're very welcome.
You know what also happens in spring?
Tell me.
My birthday.
Your birthday. Yeah, Phoebe had a birthday. Actually, it's upcoming as we're recording this, but by the time you hear this, Phoebe will already be old.
Womp womp.
What have we been up to in the last month? We've seen some live music.
We have.
We saw
Jeffrey Martin.
The amazing Jeffrey Martin, who's
that
been
was
in
a
our
really
playlist
good show.
Twice, I believe.
Twice. Yep.
With Coldfire and another song that I can never remember the name of.
Yeah, we saw him at the Camel here in Richmond.
We saw him at the Camel. And
great
it was
show.
A wonderful show. And got to speak to him briefly after that show.
As far as other music going, there are plenty of people that I want to see, of course, right?
There
this
are.
Month and the upcoming month.
There are some good people coming to our part of the world soonly.
And I think a few years ago, was it 22? I'm pretty sure it was 22. We had, it felt like at the time, concert back to back, and it was sort of like our year for live music again. Either
yep.
22 or 23. But it feels like we are coming back to that,
yeah,
and it makes me really
bit.
Excited.
Yeah, some good shows coming up that we will hopefully see before this episode comes out. We're going to see the wonderful Richmond band Rattlemouth.
Oh yeah.
Featuring Danny Finney and Robbie Kinter, formerly of the Ululating Mummies. Speaking of Rattlemouth, we're excited about that. And the other show, Marley Hale.
Yes.
Cassidy Snyder.
The Wranglers. Mackenzie Rourke.
Yep.
They're going to be at Get Tight as well. It's going to be so, so, so good.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah. And that's just a wonderful show. We hope it's as wonderful as we want it to be.
I'm sure it will be.
Yeah.
It's good to get out there and experience live music.
It's the best.
Know, with and other people that are there for the same thing.
And it's also a really good way of supporting musicians who you care about.
Exactly.
Giving them a little shot in the arm.
And fortunately, for a fairly inexpensive price.
Exactly. Yeah, both those shows are
suspiciously inexpensive.
Very, very affordable. Unusually, I am now the owner of Frank.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
At least until the end of the podcast.
All right.
Thank
you. There goes Frank.
Thank you, Frank. You, however, are the owner of the Squirrely Ball of Confusion, meaning that if we tie, like we did last month, Frank will go to you. That's our little tiebreaker procedure.
All right. So talking about our songs, though.
Yes.
What did you think of your submissions, my submissions? We also have to guess how we will be doing.
We will. I think we both had some really good ones, but I will say I think I liked them better a week ago than I like them now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of sad.
I think both of ours slipped slightly.
Okay.
And I'm still excited about it, and I still think we'll have a good playlist.
Not me. You're tripping. Mine are great.
You know. All the above. I think I have three songs that I think I really want to get in.
Okay.
I think you have two songs that are absolutely need to get in. But I also think like you're like 3 through 8.
Mm-hmm.
I like them all. I would be happy if all of them got in.
Okay.
But I had trouble picking. I had trouble guessing what I was going to like and had very much trouble thinking what you're going to like of yours.
Were there any of mine that you did not like?
No.
Okay.
There were a couple of yours that were lower on the list, but there weren't any that I didn't like, no. How about your thoughts on mine or your thoughts on yours?
I submitted mine thinking that this would be a really good playlist. And I still stand by that. I think it is really good. And as far as ordering, like, my favorites versus... I mean, I have, like, a couple favorites, but, I mean, what you said is pretty close to home for me, too, that they kind of go up and down and change order. Yours, I feel like, is a pretty solid playlist. I will say that I do like mine a little bit better.
You like yours better than mine? I think average top to bottom, I might like yours. I don't know.
Some truths will come out pretty soon, I think.
I think all 20 songs are good. I think all 20 songs are decent songs that I would be happy to have in the playlist. I think your number 8 is better than my number 8.
Okay, I see.
But anyway.
Interesting.
Yeah, and unlike usually at this point in the playlist, in the podcast rather, we ask each other for a prediction. And last month we fucked up and forgot to mention that. So then we went back after we had recorded this particular segment and we wrote down a prediction. And part of the reason that we're doing this is because if you will remember, I got my prediction right.
You did.
But we decided that we had so much fun doing that, that we're just going to keep doing that. So we're not going to announce our prediction for how we each did, but we're going to write that down.
Yep.
And that will be revealed later in the podcast. And it will just be a great moment of dramatic. It'll be filled with ennui.
We have to build it up.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you already write yours down?
Exciting. No.
I just wrote mine down.
No, I didn't. And I
see.
I also don't think I've even decided yet. But we will do that before we begin the actual picking process. And yeah, we used to include the picking process in what we're recording here, and we decided that was stupid. So now we do that without you listening, and we come back and we talk about the songs that we did. That we did select. And then this month we're going to go back and talk about a classic album.
Yes.
That we both know and love. And we hope that you at least know of it. And if you don't know it, you need to listen to
this
record.
It's time to get familiar.
This is one of the best. This is one of the best albums made in the 20th century.
Agreed. It's one of the best pieces of music, album-wise, that I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, so. I would agree. So yeah, we're going to go away and pick the songs, and then we'll be back and we'll tell you who won and all that good stuff.
See you soon.
So congratulations to the incredible cheating Phoebe
Fowler.
Whoa. There's no way you could get all 10 of those.
You know what I have to say to that?
Tell me what you got to say. Oh, Frank, fuck you.
Frank has spoken.
I can't imagine you getting all 10 of those.
To be fair, as I was ringing it, I was like, I'm slightly embarrassed.
You
I also need you to check the ballot because it's 100%
chance
ballots, that I could have fucked that up.
But I still think you had inside information somehow.
Right.
You've planted cameras and microphones.
I do have to say that Frank was feeding me knowledge.
Well, Frank was feeding you knowledge.
Yeah.
But congratulations, you did amazing.
Yay.
You got all 10. I got 8.
Hooray.
Would you like to reveal your prediction?
Yes.
So we just started doing this sort of last month accidentally, in which we guess. We used to always publicly guess.
We did.
How we would do and predict how many correct votes we would get.
But
and
now it's a secret
now,
guess.
Now we do a secret ballot.
Okay.
Which amuses. We acknowledge up front, this does not amuse you, our listeners, at all. It only amuses us. But go ahead. What was your guess?
Once again, I was incorrect.
Yes.
For me, I had 8. For you, I had 7.
You thought you would get 8, I would get 7?
Yeah.
I thought we would both get 7. So I did better than I thought I would do.
There
you
go.
And you did considerably, considerably better. And congratulations.
Yay.
Frank will be happy to be living back at your house.
Frank is back where he belongs.
Yeah. So yeah, we're going to take a little break right here, and then we're going to talk about the 11 songs that got into our playlist this month. The first song on our April playlist is Kristen Hirsch's Crooked from the album of the same name from 2010. She's 58 years old. She fronted the band Throwing Muses. Do you know this band?
I don't, but I need to.
Yeah. With her stepsister, Tanya Donnelly, who's also a sort of borderline famous badass female rocker. Throwing Muses is a band that we need to listen to.
Ooh.
And maybe get into the playlist.
I mean, just based on this song alone,
yep.
Like I think I said at the time that she kind of reminded me of like Lucinda Williams. She's
yep.
like that very raw sound to her that I like a lot.
It's good stuff.
Our second song is Keeper of the Shepherd by Hannah Francis. From the album of the same name, released in 2024. So, I first found out about this through, you know, like Pitchfork magazine?
Mm-hmm.
They have like a best album of the year thing that they do of last year, and I finally got around to listening to her a couple months ago. So, finally listened to her. Obviously, she's amazing. We both know and love this song.
My
very
favorite
much now.
Song of yours this
yeah,
month.
Yeah, I also agree.
And also my favorite video this month. From the wonderfully titled album Bourbonitis Blues in 1999, this is Alejandro Escovedo with I Was Drunk. He's been around for ages. He's 74 years old. He's been active since the late 1970s. You said
I had never heard of him before.
He's
and that
one
is
of
a
those
wonderful
songwriters that, like, he's a little bit like Nathaniel Rateliff was 10 years ago.
Okay.
And that he's sort of a songwriter's songwriter. Like, lots of people in the music business know him and love him. He's a son of a Mexican immigrant to Texas. Very musical family. I will give you $1.25 if you can guess who his niece is.
No idea.
I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
Prince.
What?
Sheila E. is his niece.
What the... Come on, man.
Right?
Seriously, talk about a musical family. That's crazy.
Seriously.
Wow. But no, I'm happy to know of him now and can go back to his catalog and listen to some stuff.
Next up is another famous Texas singer-songwriter. Lyle Lovett is back for his second appearance in the playlist with the wonderful song She's Already Made Up Her Mind from Joshua Judge's Ruth in 1992. This is another one that I struggled with a little bit whether or not I should include because
mm-hmm.
it's a song that I've known before, but I hadn't heard it in a while.
And on that note, I just want to say,
yes,
earlier while we were picking Big Al made a comment about me submitting the Ricky Lee Jones.
Yes.
He's like, come on, you know you put this in here. It's not really fair. I have the same things to say about you submitting Lyle Lovett to
fair,
the playlist.
Fair. But I picked both of them.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Our next song is by The Ocelots, their song Landlord, from the album Everything When Said Slowly. They're released this year in 2025. I just think that is such a great name for an album.
It's a great name for an album and a great name for a band.
It is. Just in case anybody doesn't know what an ocelot is, look it up right now.
Mm-hmm.
Adorable. They are Irish twin brothers. And that's pretty much all I know about them, but I would like to know more.
It's a great little video, too.
Yeah, it's a really good video. You should watch it. Watch all of the videos. Our sixth song is Persimmon by the Army, the Navy, from their album Fruit for Flies, released in 2024. I just love like the tight harmonies in this song and their humor. And this was actually the all-star pick. So I chose between this song, Persimmon, and Baby by Hannah Cohen. And Big Al chose Persimmon.
Next up is Moments Later by Julie Odell from the album Autumn Eve in 2022. This is her second appearance in our playlist. The first was November 2024's Caterpillar, a song we also loved a lot. The video for this song is, I think, maybe better than the studio version.
I agree. The video is really good.
Yep.
Our eighth song is Loyalty by Gabriels and Ashley Sade from their album Angels and Queens, released in 2023. I just gotta say, I really like the album cover. I think it's really cool.
That was my number one comment about like it's both beautiful and a little creepy.
Right? Uh-huh. Ooh, like it. But I like that their music kind of, his music reflects that a little bit. It's like that soulful sort of doo-wop R&B blend going on.
But a little bit of darkness.
A little bit of darkness in there too, which I love. You should listen to the rest of the album. It's pretty interesting. But I would like to know more about him. Our next song is Joey by Samantha Crane from her album A Small Death, released in 2020. So this is her second time in the playlist. Her first time was with an echo from December 2023. I believe it was my song. I absolutely love this song. I do think An Echo was better, but just going back and listening to that album has been a treat. Coming in at number 10 is We Belong Together by Ricky Lee Jones from her album Pirates, released in 1981. Everything about this song, I love so much. And yes, it's definitely one of those that really you're submitting Ricky Lee Jones, but
yep.
I had to do it, y'all. I had to do it.
It's got some drama.
The
it's
drama.
Got some weirdness.
Yes.
It's got some over-the-topness, and it's all kind of wonderful.
Exactly.
We close out April with a guy named Neil Young. How have we not had Neil Young in the playlist before?
We know why, though.
This is
because it's Neil Young.
Yeah, that's true, too. This is Natural Beauty from his famous album Harvest Moon in 1992. This is another one that I shouldn't submit because I already knew it pretty well. But I also hadn't really heard it in probably 10 or 15 years. And it popped up again, and I told Phoebe this earlier. This might be my very favorite Neil Young song ever.
I'll say I'm always happy to listen to some more Neil Young.
Yep.
So I'm very glad that you submitted it.
Yeah. And maybe we'll talk more about this one in a little bit too as well. So we're going to take a little break here, and we're going to come back and talk about a few of the songs that didn't get in, and maybe a few more words about some of the ones that did get in. As always, I think we're pretty happy with our playlist. I think we got 11 good songs, as always.
We've got 11 reasons to be happy.
We have more than 11 reasons to be happy, but we have 11 good songs to be happy about. But as always, maybe there's a few little disagreements,
mm-hmm.
a few things maybe you wanted to get in. No, you got everything in. You shut up. Maybe there's a few things I wanted to get in.
Some went a little faulty.
Right. but do you have anything you wanted to?
Well,
discuss?
On that note, how about you lead us with what you are upset about?
I'm not really upset about anything. I'm curious to know what you thought of a few of songs, both of yours and of mine.
Give me one.
The first is the Casi Falaza Johnny Dear. What did mm-hmm. you think of that? It's a countryish song.
I know the song.
Yeah.
Didn't really like it that much.
How do you know it, and why didn't you like it?
I frankly cannot remember where I first heard this.
Mm-hmm.
But I know the song. Is this a cover?
No.
Okay. For some reason, it sounds like a song that I've heard.
It's a very sort of classic country
uh-huh.
feeling
it
song.
Is.
It feels
is.
Like you should
very
have
much
heard
so.
It before. No, she does a sweet thing in the video where she introduces the song saying that she wrote it
mm-hmm.
from her grandmother's perspective when her father left home to be a musician.
Okay.
And Johnny Dear, grandma is having a hard time with the fact that her son left home mm-hmm. to go off and be a musician. And the singer is recounting that from her grandmother's perspective.
I do admit that I did fall asleep briefly during the video process.
You did?
I did. I might have fallen asleep during that intro. It sounds very beautiful.
Yeah, it's very beautiful.
Thank you for recounting that for me.
I really like her voice, and I really like her presence.
I do like her voice.
I do love all that, and I love the fact that you fall asleep after I spend hours upon hours of curating delicious
work.
Video footage
going uphill
for you and our listeners, and
downhill.
All you can do is fall
yep.
asleep.
Sorry.
That's
but, yeah, the song just, it didn't really do it for me.
Yep, didn't.
Yeah.
Wasn't enough. That's all right. You got a song you want to talk about?
Yes.
Yes.
I want to talk more about the U.S. Girls
uh-huh.
Lover song.
And this is a band that you know.
So this is one that I've been aware of, known for 9 or 10 years.
I didn't even know they've been around that long.
They've been around longer than that, but they're fucking weird. I'm just
uh-huh.
going to say it. very experimental pop, but were mostly instrumental before
really?
I knew of them.
Really?
Yeah, and like... It's difficult to explain, I will say. I don't really have any comparisons here other than strange.
So I wanted to talk more about your all-star pick.
Okay.
The Persimmon?
Yes.
I love that song.
Yay!
I didn't pick it myself, but it was really close.
Okay.
I think I like it so much because... We talked a little bit earlier about how Kristen Hirsch looks nothing like she sounds like. And this song, The Army and the Navy, Persimmon, the subject matter of the song
mm-hmm.
is nothing like the bright poppy little...
Right?
Like,
I love
that,
though.
I don't completely know exactly what the song is about, but I have guesses,
mm-hmm.
and none of it has anything to do with the bright poppy little... I mean, it sounds like a bad Helen Reddy song from the 70s in its cheerfulness.
Uh-huh.
And it's not cheerful
no.
at all.
Have you listened to their other stuff?
No.
It's a similar vibe, atmosphere.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, you should listen to them.
Do you know what the song's about exactly?
Exactly, no.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah. But you're right. It's like, it's very different from what it sounds like it should be about.
And it seems very much of a fuck you song.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. No, I love that. And I was so glad. I really wanted it to get in on its own, but when you submitted it one of your two picks, it was a sure thing that it would get in. I'll also say you obviously like it because you resubmitted it. What did you think of the Hannah Cohen thing? And why?
Oh, that Hannah Cohen. I don't know what it is about. I don't know if it's just the sound of it, the atmosphere going on in the background, her phrasing, all of it together. It just makes me want to cry. I don't know. I love this song. I love her singing this song.
Yeah.
I like everything that's happening from start to finish with this song. And I can't exactly explain why. It makes me feel something.
Uh-huh. That's all legit. To me, It sounds like it's like, I'm Hannah Cohen. I'm not Julia Jacklin, but I really want to be.
No. What the fuck? How it's, so?
It's just exactly the same thing.
Is
it's
it?
Like, it's like a woman singing slow, minimal songs.
That
are trying to get to an atmosphere, and Julia Jacklin does it. And this song, it's fine. I like that it's trying to get there. It just doesn't quite get there.
I don't know. Like a woman singing, getting into like some atmosphere, that kind of, I mean, that could account for 50% of the people that we have submitted and
That's
listened
fair.
To.
That's fair.
Well, tell me how you really feel. I will say that, like, I'm not really surprised to see that Inara George in there, especially after our listening session that we had a few weeks ago, listening to this album, Long Distance Love.
Yeah, the Inara George is, she is Lowell George, founder of Little Feat's daughter, and Spanish Moon, of course, was a Little Feat favorite. This is her contribution to a tribute album of his songs done by different people. This was her contribution.
That's because she's kind of sweet, like her covering her dad's song.
Absolutely. I like that cover a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I was not particularly surprised it didn't get in.
I won't say that this is the last time, but I'm going to be thinking strategically from this point on about sharing a fucking song with you from an album like this. Because you claimed all the good ones when we were listening to it here on your couch.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago. Yeah. I was like, okay, I am never never doing that shit again. You took all the good ones.
I just was quicker on the draw than you were.
No, fuck you. You didn't.
No. You could have easily jumped in first and said, you could have easily jumped in.
I was just there in the moment enjoying my time. Here comes Big Al. Claim, 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 claimed.
You know why? Because you were drunk off your ass and not paying attention.
You got me drunk. You had ulterior motives.
So, it worked.
But yeah, so I'm just stating that for the record.
That's fine. And you probably have a point.
But I think that concludes our ones that did not get in and ones that did get in. A fun little discussion.
So we'll be back in just a minute and talk about one of the greatest albums ever made. So we like talking about all different kinds of music stuff on our little podcast, in addition to our stupid playlist. And one thing we like doing is just sort of going back and talking about music that we have loved. And there was a New York Times article that came out in, I believe, 2011 by Lindsay Zolotz about the, I believe it was the 50th anniversary of the original issue of Joni Mitchell's album, Blue. And it's an album that I've always held very, very close to my heart. And I know you have as well, even though we came to this album at very different times, but probably at somewhat similar points in our lives, in different decades, obviously.
I'm curious, when did you first come to it? Like, about how old were you? Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember it pretty distinctly. I did not. So it came out in, I guess,
71.
I didn't find it until probably 11 or 12 years later. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to remember why I got into this record. And I don't have an answer to it. But I was a young man living on my own and listening to music and trying to make art, mm-hmm. and trying to think of myself, establishing myself as an artist. And I found this record, and it's, and we can get into a little bit more about why later, but it's an album that I think every artist of any media should listen to and appreciate
totally.
And soak up. But yeah, I was tending bar in a small town and found this record and trying to be a painter, and I'm
a
lonely
a
painter
gift.
Living in a box of paints.
Yeah,
you know,
seriously.
How about you? Like, do you remember when you first found it and why?
I was in high school. I want to say, geez, like 16, 17. And so the first song that I heard, well, you know, you hear a song and then you like really listen to a song.
Sure.
I think those are two completely different things.
Yep.
So the first Joni Mitchell song that I really listened to was Woodstock,
mm-hmm.
which is from the album the previous year, 1970, Ladies of the Canyon. And I remember thinking, just like after that song, I was, of course, completely obsessed, right?
Yeah.
I was like, okay, well, I have to listen to everything by this
yep.
artist.
Yeah.
Listen to that album. And I definitely had my Joni Mitchell phase. I remember thinking at the time, it felt blue. It felt so new and unique and unlike anything I had ever heard before.
It's even 50 years later, it still feels unique.
It still feels like unlike anything
yeah.
else ever.
Nothing that has been made
right.
since.
It's just...
is the same.
Truly a beautiful piece of art.
Yeah. I was into a bunch of different music, and then when I started to paint, I had a Walkman, and
mm-hmm.
I would listen to cassettes while I was painting with my headphones on. And I had this, I had Court and Spark, I had Ladies of the Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
I might have had another Joni Mitchell cassette too. And it's the kind of thing that it's like, and I think this is part of why this record is so amazing, is that you listen to it and the songs are both catchy but also completely weird.
Yes.
And you're not aware that they're weird because they're so catchy.
Yes.
It sounds just like fun, clever, smart, fun music to listen to. And it is, but then when you go back and like start really listening to it, both lyrically and the composition mm-hmm. of the music and the complexity of the music, it's weird as fuck.
It is.
Yeah.
It's like never before had I heard an album that was so simple and yet so the opposite of simple.
Yeah.
In one album. And just the structures of the songs that she creates and her phrasing are just... it's seriously unlike anything else. It's so compelling.
Mm-hmm. There's a few quotes from this article, the New York Times article, and we'll include a link to the article in the show notes. Basically, the whole article is quotes from artists and musicians about their initial reactions to the album. Some of these artists are from that era, and some of them are newer. Arlo Parks said, "There's something about the guitar that feels like an animal just running around. I think it weirdly mirrors the way she sings, traveling, 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 traveling. It feels like she was trying to hold on to something or keep up with something. and she's journeying within herself. Her melodies are so meandering and free and explore different parts of her range. There's a playfulness and a real confidence and a strength to the way she sings. Although there are moments of fragility, she always seems very sure of herself.
I have to say that I saved that exact same quote.
I stole your quote. I'm sorry.
No, it's good. Like no, it's, that means no. It also resonated with you too.
Yeah.
You know?
There's a bunch of them. You know, like all there's, I've got more quotes than we'll probably even have time to read here.
But really, it's true. There's something about, I mean, coming from like a classical music, opera, jazz background, finding somebody like Joni Mitchell is, it's up here. It's on a pedestal.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like it's in my brain, what a perfect artist. And I know that's like, perfect is not the right word here, mm-hmm. but what that looks like for me.
Speaking of different genres, Renee Fleming, the famous opera singer, mm-hmm. said, "She's been a touchstone my entire adult life. I'm sure I wanted to be her. That she wrote everything, that this was so personal to her. It was very uncomfortable to be a feminist at that time when it's not a positive word, and Joni Mitchell was just living it. She didn't talk about it, she just lived it. You felt that she went her own way."
I do have a question for you.
Tell me.
It's I have struggled to answer this, and I'm not even sure I have a clear answer mm-hmm. myself. Is there a song or two that grabbed you from this album?
Yeah. But it's one of those questions that, like, if you ask me tomorrow, you might get different answers.
That's what this podcast is about, you know?
Yeah, and there's also different ways of answering the question of, like, what's the best song on the album? Musically,
I'm not sure I have an answer for
what's that. What's the best song on the album as far as, like, heart-wrenching?
Mm-hmm.
And there's also, like, what song grabs me the most?
Let's go with that one.
Yeah, and that's also a hard one because, like, I will also say, I will, like, go full disclosure here. At the time I bought this record, mm-hmm. it was after a breakup. And
what a perfect time for this album.
Yeah. And, like, the last time I saw Richard,
okay.
That's mm-hmm. gonna grab you. How can you not love River?
Yep.
But I'm a lonely painter. I live in a box of paints.
I know. That line, it gets me. It gets me. Please continue.
Just to throw this in there, David Crosby said there's a reason 90 different people have covered A Case of You. It's because of it's one of the best songs you've ever heard.
Yes, uh-huh. It's true. I mean, there's the obvious A Case of You I have written down here.
Yeah.
But I really love My Old Man. And that's around when I first started. I heard something different from Joni Mitchell.
Yeah.
And that's about when I first started to believe that she was literally one of the best songwriters I'd ever listened to. And just everything about the song and, like, the ending with, like, the piano. Ugh,
yeah.
It's just stunning.
And you can make a case for Little Green.
Yes. Little Green is so good.
Being one of the most heart-wrenching songs you will ever see here. And listeners, I don't know if you know the song. It's basically about an artist giving up her child to be an artist.
It's so which sad.
Is so sad and so beautiful and so heart-wrenching. And
I mean, just having listened to this again, because I did listen to it, you know, once we decided to talk about this, there were definitely parts that were funny that made me laugh. And then, of course, Little Green, that's like, well, man. And then, you know, you feel heartbroken, you feel all of these emotions with her, and it's amazing that, I mean, music can do lots of things, but it can make you feel that too, just listening to the album over an hour.
It's so interesting too how she has been such an inspiration, not only to people in her generation. And the article has lots of quotes from Crosby, Stills, and Nash and people of that generation who she influenced, but also she's been a huge influence on Brandi Carlile.
Mm-hmm.
And Brandi Carlile, and I'll probably get teary reading this quote, and it's a long one, and I apologize for this. Brandi Carlile said, "When I was in my early 20s, T-Bone Burnett tried to play blue for me." This is something I've talked about to Joni many times, and she thinks it's hilarious. I got to the lyric, "I want to talk to you, I want to shampoo you," and I was just so averse. I was like, ugh, turn that off. It's the most sappy, feminine. At the time, I was just toughness was what was important to me. I wanted to have a wide gate and an electric guitar and scream and yell. For years, anytime anyone asked me about Joni, I would say, yeah, I'm not much of a fan. And then I met my wife, who's a huge Joni Mitchell mega fan. We were driving up from in northern Michigan, and we bought albums for each other to play. She was Plague Blue, and I was laughing about the lyric, and she got upset and insulted by that, and she wanted me to go deeper and understand what it was I was so averse to. She was like, I was like, it's just silly. It's not tough. It doesn't mean anything. And she was like, do you know what Little Green is about? And she told me, and she played me the album and didn't talk to me for like 2 hours. She made me take all that in. It was really profound for me, because not only was I totally falling in love properly for the first time, I was having to reevaluate what I thought feminine meant, and being tough and vulnerable and expressing yourself, even when that's really hard to say.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Also, my second quote.
Yes, do tell.
No, that was the second quote that I had. I had two quotes.
You got another one?
Nope, that was it.
Let me steal all your good quotes.
No, that's you read it well. Yeah. I don't think I would have read it with as much inflection and emotion as you did.
And I love, we both love Brandi Carlile.
Yes.
And we both.
It's also been in the playlist.
I think we both see sort of similar magic,
mm-hmm,
in a different way, but a similar sort of magic in Brandi Carlile's music and in Joni Mitchell's.
I feel so fortunate to be in an era that I can appreciate music like this, like,
yeah,
Joni Mitchell and all these other people that she's influenced that we've listened to. You know, there's big names, of course, as Prince, as Brandi Carlile, but people are making music now.
Oh yeah,
that are still influenced by her music.
Great music is a continuous thing, and I think we both agree that the continuity of music from Joni Mitchell's day into Brandi Carlile's day into Hannah Francis's day,
mm-hmm,
you know, it's like all these people build on the walk on the shoulders of the people that came before. When you listen to the record, obviously favorites change over time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you feel like, of the songs on this record, do you feel like there are ones that have come in and out of fashion for you?
Ooh. I'd say the ones that were the most grabbing, the more obvious ones for me, California.
Mm-hmm.
All I Want, A Case of You.
Yep.
River. But over the years, just listening to them all, of course, is Little Green, The Last Time I Saw Richard, and probably my favorite, My Old Man.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, there comes a point when you listen to such a piece of art that you kind of obsess a little bit, you know what I mean, about every single little thing going on in each song. And I don't know, I've been able to do that. And I think is something that we're both really good at, which is why we are doing this podcast. I mean, these, mm-hmm, playlists, we
and
obsess about those little things.
Yeah.
But I can honestly say every single song on this album, you should be listening to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's such a, I feel like there were some quotes in this article that sort of touched on this. It's an album, as I think a lot of really good art is, it's an album that can have an effect on people at different points in,
mm-hmm,
their life.
And it can mean several different things at the same time, you know?
It can mean different things at different times, but it also can mean different things a decade later than it did before.
Yes, it's the same songs that you heard 10 years before, and yet it puts you in a completely different place now. It's amazing. I am curious.
Yes.
Do you remember what your first Joni Mitchell song was? Not that you just, like, heard on the radio or whatever, but the ones you actually paid attention to that you really listened to for the first time.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
And I go back again to, like, why I even got into her initially.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely heard Woodstock on the radio when it came out as a little kid.
Oh, I'm sure.
And I also heard Clouds and Both Sides Now and, you know, the folkier stuff when it was initially. And I also remember hearing Free Man in Paris when it was a hit in, you know, I was 14 or 15 or something maybe.
Do you remember like a time when you listened to Joni Mitchell that you really like, it really touched you?
I think at that, when I was saying earlier, when I was being a bartender and starting to be an artist, I think I knew her and liked her and knew she was important before then, but I don't think I understood why and really immersed myself in her until that point in my life. How about you? Was there like an entry song that
The Woodstock from earlier?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
And a great one.
It's a great first Joni Mitchell song, and I remember listening to it in a music store for the first time, and then I bought the CD and took it home.
I also wanted to give props to this article just for the photography that's in it.
Oh, these photos
are so amazing. Yeah, they are. And they're done by different people, and I wish there were photo credits underneath each photo, because each photo in this article is just stunning. And she's such an interesting, soulful, her face is so expressive. And everything, and also there's photos of Crosby and James Taylor and other people and Graham Nash in this thing too that are wonderful and worth seeing. But it's worth reading the article just to look at the pictures. I got one more quote. David Crosby said, "I think it's arguably the best singer-songwriter album that ever got made. I'm a singer-songwriter, and I was her old man for a year, which was daunting. But I'm deeply into her music. I watched her write it. I've written with her. I love her to this day. I think she's the best of us. But that record with some of those songs, I don't know how you could beat him. River? Holy shit. I remember the first time I heard it, I felt like quitting the business and becoming a gardener. The music is where she's just vastly superior to Bob Dylan. I think Bob's as good of a poet as she is, maybe. They're both brilliant poets, but she's 10 times the musician and singer that he was."
It's a beautiful quote.
Thanks for listening. Both our Spotify playlist and our silly little podcast are updated and released around the first of each month. We're recorded every month in the warm and cozy hug of the OML Studios in downtown Manchester, Richmond, Virginia.
If you've enjoyed our podcast, please leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to our finished ordered playlist on Spotify by searching for In the Distance Oblivious.
You can visit our podcast home on the internet at itdo.name. Email us your questions and suggestions at music@itdo.name.
Thanks to Traveler Whiskey Blend No. 40 for help in recording this month.
Our theme music is from Red Eye by E's Jammy Jams. We find a lot of our great background music from Blue Dot Sessions, and all of our music is always credited in our show notes.
Thanks to Hannah Francis.
Thanks to Alejandro Escovedo.
Thanks, Joe.
And thanks, Frank. Please keep listening. Tell your friends. Me to hold your red piece.
Excuse me, could you hold my red piece, please?